Joining us today is bare knuckle boxing's 165-pound world champion. He's coming off back-to-back title fights, and he has just signed with the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships here in the USA. Everybody, please join me in welcoming to the show Connor, the Brumtown Bomber Tierney.
Thank you for joining us, Connor.
We appreciate you being here. I like your shirt. I love that show.
You know what? I got it for Christmas last year. And only wear it in the winter and it gets colder. And obviously it's starting to get the winter now, so throw it on.
I watch it with my daughter. She's a big fan.
Yeah, I like it too, to be fair.
Well, listen, to go ahead and get started with, let's talk a little bit about your combat sports history and a decision that you made that I find very interesting. Now, you've been boxing since you were 8 years old. You had, 48 amateur fights.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to turn pro, you decided not to go with the pro boxing, but instead to transition right into bare knuckle. Can you tell us a little bit about that decision?
Yeah, well, I was boxing amateur and over in England, in the Midlands, where I live, West Midlands and Birmingham, we've got a thing called the East Midlands Box Cup. I fought in the ABAs, which is the Nationals. I got to the Midlands semis and then I fought in the East Midlands. And I don't know, I sort of quit and I thought, now I don't want to do it anymore. And everyone was like, why don't you go pro? And I thought, I ain't got really a big enough fan base for it. But I always wanted to be in the limelight. So the thing is, me, I'm impatient. Like, I don't want to sort of go and fight in a civic hall in front of 500 fans. I want to be fighting in front of 1,000 fans straight away with my face on the TV. And BKB sort of came up and they were looking for like an 8-man prize fighter. And my mate had fought in it last minute notice, John. And he'd got like the fastest knockout in it. And I thought, you know what? I fancy a bit of that because I like the limelight and everyone's sort of like everybody watching it, tuning in. It was on telly. So I applied and he was like, send me some footage. Sent him some footage and from all my amateur fights and that. And realistically, when I look at it, no offense to the other lads, but technically I was better than all of them. I got in the first ever prize fighter, which was like three continuous fight straight after back-to-back to get a 10 grand prize. And that was the way into it. And people were sort of like, how can you go into bare knuckle? Like, it's just brutal to go from gloved amateur straight into bare knuckle. And I don't know, I think you just got to be a little bit of a nutcase, ain't you, as well?
Well, that's perfect. So moving over into the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, you know, for people that don't know, you like to get into your opponent's head. You like to, you know, kind of get under people's skin, whether it be social media or in the ring. How do you feel like you're separate from everyone else over here in America?
I think, you know what, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I can be cocky. Yeah, I can be not. I'll say I'm not arrogant, but some people do say I'm arrogant. But like, I think what it is obviously I can get in your head, but then I'm very humble and I'm respectful as well. So if you meet me in person, everyone meets me. They see me on social media. They see me like on the TV boxing. And they think I'm this absolute arrogant prick. And then when they see me on real life, they're like, oh, you know what? You're actually really sound like you're a proper nice kid. And I'm just like, well, yeah, because obviously I have to put 110 into the sport. I want to be known. I want to be big. And you're not going to be big sitting under a rock, are you? Do you know what I mean? You've got to get yourself out there. I think, being in America, I think I've got the perfect personality, to be fair. I think a lot of people like that cocky swagger. But at the same time, you know, meet me in person and I'm humble and stuff and I'll give you any time of day. I don't care if, you know, if you're someone who's not a fan and they'll just want to come up and say hello, I'll speak to you, I'll take my time out to you. You know what I mean? I'm not that type of person where I'll be like, no, I'm busy. It's me, it's all me. It's not, I want to sort of give back as well.
So for sure.
Yeah, taking that into America as well and bringing that to the fight game, being from England as well, not being a cocky and arrogant as what it is. It's like, I'm cocky, but I'm funny. Like, I've got a good sense of humour. And I also take the piss out myself. You know what I mean? So when I take the piss out myself, people are like, oh, you know what? You're actually quite funny. And I'm like, wow, yeah, I know.
Well, obviously, I think you made the right choice going into bare knuckle, seeing how in your fourth fight, you take the short notice fight, you beat Connolly, and then you immediately give him the rematch and beat him again. So, you know, clearly you five fights in, you're winning titles. Now that you're coming into the USA and you're looking into the BKFC organization, which is quite a bit different than what you've got over in the UK. I mean, you're a lot more established over there as a sport. Yeah. I think it's looked at quite a bit different. Here it's still, you know, kind of finding its spot, and it still has some misconceptions about the brutality and other things.
Yeah.
But one difference I notice a lot of is right now BKFC is made up of what, like a lot of MMA fighters, a lot of retired professional boxers, not so much as the MMA though, but there's not a lot of pure bare knuckle boxers. How do you think that that's going to give you an advantage coming into this particular organization and in your division?
I've been training for a long time as a pure boxer. Technically, I am one of the, in my opinion, in the whole of bare knuckle, in the whole world, I reckon I'm technically one of the best ever that'll do it in terms of like technical fundamentals, upright boxing, I'll beat you. But I think bringing this into the game, seeing people running straight lines, I've come off at angles, I'm sharp, I'm upright, I don't get dragged in. I get dragged in if I get a bit emotional, but the last fight was a bit of beef between the two of us, so, you know, that was more personal. We live like a mile apart as well, so we don't like each other. Yeah, so that's like real beef. That was like, if we'd seen each other, we would have been dead. One of us would have been dead.
I feel it.
But like in the ring, I'm focused, I'm switched on. Like I'm smiling, I'm ready to go. So I know what's coming for me. An animal, a rabid animal that's ready to just come swinging at me. And it just take a, you know, I mean, I've got there's plans in place already to spin off angles, little pot shots, wear them down. And the ring in BKFC is huge compared to BKB. Really big.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Just looking at it. When you look at, so BKB looked big in the ring on the YouTube. It's not as really small. It's about 16 foot.
I reckon
BKFC one's about 20 foot. So,
square footage wise, that's going to be a lot more room for you to move. I mean, I know you like to move in and out. You come in, you strike, you bounce back out. Your angles are something that you're correct, you don't see a lot of right now in BKFC. No. It's a lot of that just linear in straight line movement, not a lot of head movement.
No.
And then, of course, there's the MMA fighters whose their boxing is never as up to par as they think it is. You know, we do cover a lot of that sport, but I have a question that I've just been wondering about bare knuckle boxing in general that kind of relates to this is when it comes to your training camps and your sparring. Like I see what the MMA guys do here in America, which is they just put on the big 18-ounce gloves and they spar with each other. Yeah. And having been an amateur boxer too, like I can't help but think that that's almost like a disadvantage when they step into the bare knuckle ring for the first time and they don't have this big defensive pad in front of them. How do you spar with gloves? And what are your thoughts on that?
I spar with 16s and a head guard. And mainly for that is because these are really important and we don't want to have cuts when we go in. The last thing you want to do is get a big cut in sparring and then go into the fight with, you know, weak skin. Because as soon as that opens up, it's going to cause problems. The gloves as well. I mean, I think a lot of people, I mean, I would spar in 4 ounce MMA gloves if I was 10, 12 weeks away. I would never spar in 10, 12, I'd never spar in like 4 to 6 ounce gloves, MMA gloves, that is 4 weeks away, because legally in amateur boxing, it takes 30 days to recover from a head trauma. So if you're sparring 30 days out or 25 days out with MMA gloves and you get caught with a good shot and you're gone on your legs and you have to take a bit of time, there's a bit of concussion there. Apparently your brain doesn't fully recover for up to 30 days. Now, if you went into the big KFC fight 25 days in and your head's still not all there and you catch another one of them and you're just cold out, it's a risk that you don't want to take. So any sort of risk I'm going to take in my sparring, wherever I'm, when I want to go spar the good sort of good level pros that can bang, I'm sparring them like at least 5 weeks away from the fight. I don't want to be taking big punches three, four weeks away and then going into the sort of big KFC where I'm a bit worn down because I've had some hard spars. I always have my hard spars on the build-up, and the last 3, 4 weeks I'm having fast spars with lighter people to keep, you know what I mean, to keep sharp, to keep fresh, keep good on, quick on my feet. Yeah, but not a lot of fighters know about that. They don't understand that when you get a good blow to the head, the brain, obviously, it recovers, but there's only so much of it recovers. There's a memories inside it. When you get a good smack and you're gone, it takes a long time to recover. So if you get hit again with that same shot, bare knuckle, you can be out because your brain's fully not recovered. It's mad, isn't it? Obviously, the brain's really sensitive. There's a lot of neurons and nerves in there. So once it gets ricochets and like you cribble them and you're gone, your legs are gone. Obviously, people don't understand how long that actually takes to recover from it. I mean, I've been knocked out a couple of times like in the amateurs and BKB, and it takes about a week or two to get actually over the concussion because your head's still a bit, it's still in the back of your head. Like you can, so I never ever want to take them risks going into the fight. I always spar with 16-ounce gloves, head guard. But then all my pad work is bare knuckle. My bag work's bare knuckle. Pad work, pad work with the gloves, I'll do it for the camera because the sound, catching the noise, makes it look good on the camera. But when I'm doing proper pad work, there's a little pair of wraps for my wrists, and I'm doing it there because the accuracy on the pad, when you get small pads, and you're being able to catch them with quick shots, that's better for me for my focus and accuracy, bare knuckle, if you get me. When you wear a 16, 14-ounce glove, you've got an extra 2-3-inch width either side and another 3-inch width length on top. So you've got like almost like a small football, like soccer ball in England, hitting the pad. But then when you look at your knuckle, look at the size of that, circumference like 6-7 inches. Then if you're used to catching someone with the end of the glove on, with, you know, cuffing them and catching them as a shot, get used to it. You want to be accurate with your shots. That's what I train. I train with pinpoint accuracy. I don't want to be wasting energy and missing shots. So, yeah, it's a bit of that. Obviously, like, I've got a bit more science towards what I'm doing.
That sounds really smart. I like that. That's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and so now that you're moving over to the BKFC, you see kind of where you fit as far as, like, the division. What's, like, so where do you feel like you fit as far as like your next opponent, your first opponent coming in? Is it going to be someone more seasoned, or do you want to maybe get more, more fights in BKFC because the clinch, and there's a few different other rules that are just a little bit different, but they're kind of the same idea. Is that something where you want to get more fights in before you go for a title, or you want to step right into the fire?
If I'm honest with you, at the start, I wanted to just go head like balls deep and take titles. But then, obviously, I was thinking, you know, with me, I'm not really scared of who I fight. Like, I think now I'm just getting impatient, waiting for a fight, an announcement. I spoke to Feldman today. They're waiting on the visa. Like, you know, they're making sure the visa's 100%. When that's ready, they're ready to go. In terms of opponents, they've offered me a couple. We've spoke about Alvin Brito, which is a cracking fight. You know what I mean? Alvin's obviously the best in 165. He's awkward. It's not an easy fight. But it's a fight that I know that I can win because I'm much bigger than Alvin. And Alvin, when I look at, like, do you know his last one? Was it Cruz or Julio?
I believe it was Cruz. But I could be mistaken.
I think it was, yeah. See, that Cruz was a pro boxer. And this was the same as Caleb Harris. They fought pro boxers, Derek Harris and this Cruz. Now, these two boxers, right, were old seasoned pro boxers. More almost like veterans in their pro careers. They were coming to their end of careers. They wasn't young. They wasn't hungry. They looked like to me that they was just they were dipping their toes in the water and seeing what it was like. They were lazy on their feet. They were flat footed walking forward. There was no sort of real move. Most of what they'd done, their successful work was on the inside. I'm a completely different fighter to them type of fighters. You won't see me trying to sit deep in the pocket and land shots. But I have been training for the clinch. I've been training with a Thai coach once a week. We're literally sparring, clinching and uppercutting. And now all of a sudden I'm sparring him against heavyweights. I'm throwing him in the clinch straight away and I'm attacking him. So I'm getting that programmed into me for when I'm in there. I'm literally just thinking of everything and just bottling it all in. It's a different sport to BKB. It's a completely different sport.
Sure.
And I'll be ready 100%. So in terms of who I want, you know what? Right now, I just honestly couldn't give a shit. Like, I fought the best in the world or fought the worst. I just put someone in front of me right now because I've been training a long time without an announcement and I just need to fight.
Now, if I understand, you're 6'2", right?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
So with your size, you can move around weight classes a little bit. Since the 165-pound BKFC, they don't have a champion right now, as far as I know, but we do at 175, and there is, of course, Louis Palmino at 55. Have you given any thought to moving into any of those divisions and trying for that instant title shot?
Yeah, so obviously for me, where I'm at now is I get to 165. I want to do, so right now I'm sitting around about 79, 80 kilo, which is about 175. I think with a water cut, let's say how I can get down to. If the water cut goes well and I drop lower than the 165, then maybe it's a possibility to move to 145. I've done it before when I was younger, but I'm a lot older now. So sad, not a lot, but compared to when I was, it was the last time I was 155 pound would have been when I was 19, 20. I'm 27 now. So I've got a lot of years on, and obviously my job is different. I sit at a desk, so I don't have the activeness of keeping myself like constantly, you know, burning calories and losing weight. But the 175, I've been looking. It's a scary division to be fair, though, that 175. Like, for me, when I look at myself in the mirror at 175 now, I look nowhere as big as Lane, Diaz and Alves. They look huge. They look massive for the weight, and I don't get it. I just look, and but I don't know if these are very small guys. These might be 5'7s, 5'8 guys.
They're definitely very muscular.
Yeah.
So
definitely some muscle bound guys. And well, that's where I feel like you also do have a little bit of an advantage over some of those guys. A lot of these guys in BKFC are coming in, like we said before, from MMA and stuff like that. And they don't necessarily have as extensive as a background just in the sport of bare knuckle alone. Do you find yourself like just having a step ahead of all those guys? Whereas like, although there is small different like rule changes, you've been in this, doing this for years now. Do you feel like those kind of guys, you're not worried about them, that you can go in there and compete with the best of the best right away?
Yeah, cool. So this is my, I'm coming to literally the end of a third year in bare knuckle now. A lot of these pro boxers who are actually turning over from BKFC pro boxers, I've never had any bare knuckle experience, where I've just dipped, I've literally gone head first into it. I've had 6 fights, 5 wins, 1 loss, you know, I've suffered a bad knockout in the first round. I know ever since I've suffered that knockout, I've had 4 wins on the bounce because I knew where I went wrong. So I think that's what, with the pedigree I've got and experience in bare knuckle, I think that people are going to underestimate, because they're just, it's not like they're not going to bring me over as an ex-amateur boxer. They're going to bring me over as a bare knuckle world champion. So it's not like, when I listen to the commentary on the Caleb fight and the Brito fight, it's not like, oh yeah, he was a pro, he's a pro boxer, and he's had 25 fights, or he's had, this is, no, it's not, I wasn't a boxer now. It's gone from being an amateur boxer to being a bare knuckle boxing world champion. So when I come over there, yeah, I don't need to worry about getting hit with a bare fist, because I've done it 6 times now. Do you know what I mean? I've fought a 7-round world title fight. These guys have not been past 4, 7. You know, and it was hard work. Obviously, my hands actually weren't too bad. I think I broke the end of my little finger, but my face, I looked like the Elephant Man.
Yeah, that is a major difference, is the 7 rounds versus the 5 rounds, which also swings in your favor. I mean, getting into these 5-rounders is going to feel quite a bit more refreshing, I would imagine.
Yeah.
A little bit easier.
That's it. With the 7 rounds was... Obviously, when I fought James, James is a very good fighter as well. Like, James is not a mug. He'd give Franco a very tough fight. You know, he's up there as one of the best right now. And that 7 rounds was hard, because I didn't even, I don't know if you've watched, I didn't even perform how I can. And a lot of people said that. A lot of people said, Con, you could have boxed a lot better than that. You made it hard. And I said I did, because there was too much emotion and beef. And there was too much hatred in there. So I was swinging and missing a lot. And I was putting too much aggression into me, where I weren't relaxing and focusing. There was times when I was switched on, and there was times when I was losing my head. But for 7 rounds, I came out of it, and I wasn't like, in that 7th round, even though we was gassed, we was throwing a lot of shots. Like, if you watch that 7 rounds of me and him fighting, that's not 7 rounds of tit-a-tat boxing, that's 7 rounds of constant pressure on each other. So I watched a lot of these BKFC fighters, especially a lot of the MMA lads, and I always tend to find, when they have a hard fight for two rounds. They're very gassed for like the last three. I was watching Brito on the Diaz fight. When Diaz put pressure on him, two and three, four and five, he was blowing, you could tell. He was leaning over the top of him, holding on and stuff. He was, you could tell it was a lot. It took a lot out of him. And I think that obviously their training is different to mine. I'm repeatedly throwing shots, bang, 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 back in and out for 7-8 rounds sparring. These guys are doing 6-7 rounds, but it's very complacent sparring. I reckon they're doing very like touch sparring, a couple of shots here. Do you know what I mean? Whereas me, it's full on. I'm sparring right now. My sparring partners are not under the weight of 85 kilo. I'm sparring cruiserweights and heavyweights and light heavyweights. So I'm literally like, I'm in there with 17 stone. I'm with Padmore, British champion, bare knuckle champion. I'm sparring Tyson Fury's cousin, Noah Burton. I'm sparring Harry Fears, who's turned pro. These are all cruiserweights and super heavyweights. So I'm just getting my used to the pressure and the weight on top of me. And which, obviously, being a bigger person than the people in 165 is going to benefit me. Because if I'm moving heavyweights around now and cruiserweights, and when I say I'm moving around, I'm hitting them and I'm hurting them. I'm wobbling a couple of them. I don't know what I'm going to be doing to them 165 and BKFC.
Yeah.
Putting them down.
Well, we're really looking forward to seeing it, though. That's for sure.
I just get flattened now and not 30.
Well, hopefully, I know there's been some talk of getting you on this November New York card with BKFC, and hopefully we'll get some news on that in the future, because we know we're really looking forward to your debut. So are our listeners, and I'm sure they'd love to know how to connect with you further. What's the best social media for them to follow you on?
Instagram. Instagram's the best. Obviously, my Instagram, at Connettini, Connor. TIERNEY, BKFC. You know what? I'm more clever to be fair. I'm quick on the ball. I'm not...
Well, we know it's late over there. We're in Vegas and you're over across the pond. We appreciate you coming on the show this afternoon for us, this evening for you. We wish you nothing but luck in your debut whenever that happens. And hopefully we can have you back on afterward and talk about how your victory went.
Yeah, hopefully. If it doesn't happen November the 6th, I'm pretty sure there's like three or four more cards after that anyway, the way they're moving. So either way, it'll be a big fight.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, man.
Thank you for coming on.
No worries. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
All right. Brilliant. Thanks a lot.